head and limbs. I saw pictures of you. Listen, your lack of self-awareness is fantastic, Spenny.
The podcast
good start.
Starting with Lachlan and Spenny fighting. It's going to be a great show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Dean. Day number three in the same hoodie. I am wearing a different undershirt. I'm at that point of my broadcast, podcast, media career where I don't give a shit. Welcome to the program. Joining us, as always, newly employed, full-time employee here, the head of our internship, manternship, Mr. Lachlan Cross, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him. Give the Locker Room YouTube page a follow as well. As always, Lachlan, my friend, is brought to you by Ardent Roofing Systems. Go to ardentroofingsystems.com and get in on their golf tournament. That's coming up, isn't it? You're hosting that bad boy.
July 5th, spots are filling up. He's still looking for sponsors as well. So get on it.
There you go. We'll talk about that more on the show. As always, brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io as well, cantorque.com, Muse Massage Spa. Go to musemassagespa.com for more information. And of course, Gitch from edsfineimports.com. Joining us today, our guest, you may have heard of his program. He used to work with a gentleman named Kenny, and his name's Spencer, so it didn't rhyme. So they called it Kenny versus Spenny instead of Kenny versus Spencer. Mr. Spencer Rice, ladies and gentlemen, joins us today.
So
Spenny.
It could have been Kenster versus Spencer, which is thank God it didn't go that way.
That would have been a great name for a show, Kenster versus Spencer.
Dean, don't call him Kenny because he gets all twitchy when you call him Kenny.
Yeah,
yes.
He really does.
So and you every time we're on with him, you call him Kenny like four times.
Yeah. Listen, one of my favorite Kenny versus Spenny episodes, and it kind of leads into the pre-chat conversation where you guys were scrapping before we started this podcast. Is I get a lot of, like, you've done a lot of things that, you know, like there was that one episode where the punishment was you guys had to be teabagged by two gay bears for like the last 10 minutes of your show. So you're not afraid. You are gender fluid when it comes to comedy. You embrace all kinds of things. But you said something before we started the show is that you were upset that gay guys don't hit on you. And Lachlan was too.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, it's kind of what you said.
I didn't say that either.
No, in fact, I resent that Lachlan is lumping me in with his issue that gay guys don't hit on him. When I was younger and better looking, I've had gay guys hit on me. So
okay,
I think you're completely wrong.
You, my entire perception of you destroyed. See, I didn't fucking think of you as like this Enrique, this suave guy.
To both sexes.
Yes.
I see it all, dude. Look at him. He's a well-established 60-year-old gentleman. He's a
loaded,
gentleman.
Loaded fake. Listen, go watch Kenny versus Spenny Locke. You'll see me kiss a man. It didn't go well, but I tried.
Okay.
Right. And he let me. Good question. I don't know. I'd have to look at the footage. I don't think so.
Did you black out?
No. It was so awkward. It was one of the most awkward experiences of my life. And I also had to tongue kiss Kenny. That was also filmed.
For how long was the tongue kissing? Was it just?
It was
kissing?
A good 10 seconds. Like,
was there
one
touching?
Mississippi? Was two Mississippi. That Mississippi stuff just goes forever, you know.
Yeah, it sure does. Did you enjoy it though? Like, did any part of you
both,
go? Hey,
we both. No, Kenny's tongue is like cream of mushroom soup. Actually, it's pretty disgusting. I used to do it for humiliations in the live show, and I think once I do his tongue scrapings, so he sticks out his tongue, gets a credit card. And scrapes his tongue in this white mushroom soup thing.
What
comes
is that?
Off.
What is that?
I don't know what
Why?
It is.
Why?
But people go, how can you do that? I go, I don't know what's more humiliating, me putting that on my tongue or the fact that he gets that off his tongue. I'm getting nauseous.
Just thinking about it. Is it his diet?
Yeah. Does he have like...
When it comes to making me uncomfortable, Kenny has superpowers. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Where did the idea for punishments start? And were you the first people to do a TV show with punishments?
Oh, good question.
The first time I saw someone get punished at the end of any show was Kenny versus Spenny, and the punishments were severe.
Well, watching this hour is 22 minutes as a punishment. I don't know if that's the same thing. But no, listen, the reality is I don't know. I don't think so.
When did Fear Factor come out?
The idea was we needed consequences to the competition. We couldn't just have a competition. One guy wins and the show's over. So I don't know where it came from. Kenny will, of course, claim he came up with it, as he does with almost everything that we've ever done. But I don't remember. I'm just honest about it. I don't remember.
Could've you don't been. Remember where it started? Like, the whole idea is, hey, you're going to do this. I'm going to do that. Whoever wins at the
it
end of the show,
been,
something
it,
terrible has to happen. Because some of the punishments were fucking gross, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the reality is...
what was the worst? What was the worst? Like, the punishment where you're I don't think I can do this at the end of the show, but you have to because you're contractually obligated.
Well, the thing is, I did so many. Actually, I was on Kenny's TikTok page yesterday, and he actually said during one of the commentaries that I won almost all the shows, but I didn't know it, which was a remarkable admission by him. Look, the worst one, you have to factor into it. It was the first season, one of the first episodes we ever did. So I really wasn't used to the humiliations. I became callous to them because I did so many of them. At one point, it was just, okay, what do I got to do? All right, I'm going home. And I do it. But honestly, the worst one for me was in season one, we go to this transvestite's apartment. in a really on Sherburn, like it was really kind of sketch. And this guy had a rack, you know, not tits, but a rack that you can be tied up to, like a crucified.
Oh, like a bondage rack. It was like S&M, like a trans person that was into S&M. Okay, cool.
I remember this episode.
Yeah.
And so what happened was I'm in my underwear and they tie me up and I can't get out. And all of a sudden, Kenny says, okay, we're going to take off his underwear, right? And so I would have been naked, and I, it was so early days in the show that I didn't realize, even if he did that, I could have made sure it didn't air. So I got so upset that I used all my strength and I broke this poor guy's rack, which was like $3,000 it cost the production, I think $3,000. So that was, for me, just, that was the worst because I still hadn't become.
Did your dinger make an appearance? Did he show you, like, were you fully naked?
No, he never pulled off my underwear because I started kicking.
Is that why you got mad? You didn't want him to kick off your underwear?
Correct.
And were you, just because you didn't want people to see your penis?
Correct.
Well,
we ended up, my favorite episode was.
What's wrong with your, Spanny, what's wrong with your penis?
I don't want people to see your penis.
Well, my penis, I've talked a lot about it. My penis erect is a little under 6 inches, which is fine. Not erect, it's not pretty.
It's a grower, not a shower, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically.
A lot of people have that issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it can look impressive, dude. There are lots of us that, in certain states don't.
I'm kind
look
of a hybrid.
Impressive.
I'm kind of a
it depends on how
shower.
Nice it is outside. If I work out that day,
if it's muggy, I'm a bit of a shower.
Great. Yeah, me too.
Let me say this, and this will encapsulate my feelings about
if it's
it.
It's muggy. Lachlan's a bit of a shower. If it's humid out,
yeah. Let me just make this.
Gotta be humid.
If there's 30 photographs of my penis over the years. Each and every one of them would be erect or semi-erect. That's all you need to know. That tells you the entire story of my
life. Have you ever taken, as a celebrity, have you ever taken
Why picture? Are you taking so many pictures of your penis, Spenny? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Back in the day.
Did you share those pictures? Would you send dick
with,
pics?
With
to
certain
friends?
Ladies that I trusted, yes, of course.
Are you worried that any of those are going to come back and get you later?
You know, no, because no, I'm not really worried about it.
Did you?
You know why? Because they're erect and semi-erect.
Let's ask a question. Like, how were you with angles and lighting?
Wasn't very sophisticated. I don't think it mattered. I'd be so horny when I did the photo shoot that it really.
Got a picture of his dick. A photo shoot.
Did you seriously set up cameras and tripods and stuff?
No, I've never videoed myself having sex except when Kenny did. He showed me having sex. This is in our live show. If anybody's not been to the 20th anniversary show, it took him about 5 years to get me to agree to putting it on the show. But he took a video of me having sex with the girl that the porn girl from Who Can Make a Better Porn. Not only did he do that, he cut the audio and the visual to make it look like I prematurely ejaculated. which of course I did, but it wasn't quite as fast as the video. All of a sudden my pants are on. It's like, holy shit.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Holy shit. He hates you.
You know, I think he loves me somewhere deep down underneath all this.
I don't know if that can be.
His fans hate me. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Can I ask you something? Because is this why you're doing your own Patreon channel? Because you're tired of working with Kenny? Is that why?
Well,
is like you don't trust him anymore?
No, I still work with Kenny. Yeah. The reality is a couple of things. If it wasn't for Patreon, I'd be tap dancing under a bridge for nickels, but that's another story. So Patreon for me, see, when I did Kenny versus Spenny Dean and Locke, I was very constricted in what I could do. I was essentially the straight man. I did the competitions pretty much like a normal person would.
I don't know if you're sticking fingers up people's bums in your own. I don't know if you can necessarily call that a straight man.
I did that in the live show. We're talking about Kenny versus Spenny, the television show. The live show, I can explain that away.
You saw yourself as a straight man in Kenny versus Spenny?
Oh, 100%.
I thought Kenny was a straight man. I didn't think he was a straight man. I thought you were the relief valve, the comic relief valve.
You know, this reminds me of I was the
erotic comic relief valve. That's what I would call you.
The best sketch I think that Kids in the Hall ever did was The World's Worst Straight Man. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah.
And it's them, and they use black and white, and they're in baseball outfits, basically doing Abbott Costello's Who's on First. But the straight man keeps explaining, "No, the man's name is Who, Bob Who," ruining the bit. Anyways, yeah. Okay.
Do you ever talk to those guys? Do you ever talk to the Kids in the Hall? They did their Netflix special, or not Netflix. Was it Prime? Amazon Prime?
I don't think I've seen one of them live. I've never met the other guys or the one I saw live, but I did see him, I believe, at the Rivoli a long time ago.
Dude, that was such a huge thing. Like when they came out with their Kids in the Hall reunion, and by the way, they went full Monty. They were totally naked for the first 10 minutes of the first actual skit, if you saw it. And it was gross, but it was brave. It was courageous. It was one of those things where you're like, Jesus Christ, you guys, seriously, do you have to do this? And they just did it because they're them, right? And I don't know these guys. Big fan of Dave Foley. Love Kids in the Hall. Love their comedy. These are the Daves I know. You know, this guy.
Yeah, there's
how was
probably
I
a
supposed
lot of-
to know she was deaf? Like that kind of stuff. I love Kids in the Hall back in the day. You have that kind of following. That's my point. So I'm proposing a Kenny versus Spenny reunion. That's
the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. factcheck.io. Back to the show. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FAKTCHEK.io. FAKTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip, and they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FAKTCHEK.io.
Yeah, the older we get, the funnier it'll be. That's
oh, seriously.
If we're 80 years old running around naked, it would be the hilarious. But let me answer your question. Because you're being very nice. I appreciate both of you letting me on the show to plug my Patreon page.
Yeah, we'll get to that promo video of it and talk about it in a second. Because you actually have a purpose behind this Patreon thing.
Well, no, it's just there's no limitations to what I can do on the Patreon page. Yeah. So I'm releasing everything from old correspondence from when I lived in L.A., which I have. I write a lot of letters. I still do. I've released something I just sent you, which is a brochure I made about the heel manager school that for wrestling. There it is. Just stuff. There's all kinds of stuff and videos on my computer that would never see the light of day without it. I'm producing shows where I'm doing reaction videos, which is pretty, down the line what people do. I'm doing recommendation videos. I'm doing music. I'm doing interviews with Bobby, Uncle Bobby, for example, and all this stuff I could never do on Kenny versus Spenny. So it's a wonderful feeling for me to be able to do this. Yes, people have to pay. It's $2 a month to get it. You can join for free, and if you like it, you can move up to different tiers. They get more material. It's a long-term project. It's a lot of work. I've had to learn how to edit and stuff like that, so I don't have to pay people because I'm cheap. So it's been a lot of work, and I really like the format, and I love being able to express myself without any restrictions.
You know what I find wildly entertaining about this conversation is that anybody who knows Kenny versus Spenny, you guys were groundbreaking in that you sort of stepped outside of the norm of what people expected to see on television. And you're credited for that. The two of you, regardless of your dynamic now or in the past, are credited for changing TV as we know it, and you're talking about the restraints of Kenny versus Spenny. I just find it.
That's why I'm the
shit
man.
That you guys did.
You can't
has
do it
somehow has somehow got you to a point where I got to do a Patreon so I can really express myself.
Yeah. Well, there's more to me than fingering asses and.
Yeah, thank you.
Hairy balls on my forehead. That's all I'm saying. There's more to me than
that. Oh, the guy didn't shave? I didn't see the teabagging episode.
Oh, dude, it is 30 minutes, 22, 30 minutes of pure fucking anxiety, laughter. It's easily one of the funniest episodes of any kind of television you'll ever watch. I want to play this. This is the promo video for Spenny's Patreon channel. This kind of gives you a taste of what you're starting. And I fucking think it's great, dude. I really do. I think this is such a great idea for you to get all that stuff out. You know, we kill our babies when we're trying to be creative. And at the same time, we're like, I want to bring some of those babies back. This is your chance to do that. It's your chance to connect with people and have them give you money for it, which is the whole idea. We don't want you tap dancing under a bridge at all.
I'm on that.
Yeah.
I would be okay with Spenny having to tap dance underneath the bridge.
Hey, dude.
Have you seen me tap dance?
Yeah,
it's in the Who Can Win a Beauty Pageant. It's probably one of the funniest things I've ever done on television because Kenny switched my shoes out so they were too small and I can't tap dance. So it was a disaster.
Anyway, here's an intro to Spenny's Patreon channel, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Spencer Rice.
Hey, Spenny here. I've been creating content for a long time. Some you've seen, some you haven't. But as you know,
since the beginning of time, mankind was forced to compete for survival.
So I'm doing my own thing, reaching out to some friends and putting it all on Patreon.
This guy probably is richer than I am, more famous than I am.
I'm revisiting some old faves.
You're taking much too long.
Trying to figure out what the fuck is happening out there. These days, the world is a goddamn shit show.
Okay, let's just talk about the N-word being used by the religious people.
I'll tease stuff on my socials. Everybody said it was a shame. But the goods will be for the supporters on Patreon.
There's a whole lot of shit in Texas, mama, yo.
With some pals helping me out, even my daughter.
And I'm always right.
That's not true.
Blah, blah, blah. You know the rest.
So sign up. It's cheap, and as the kids say, based?
Oh, dude. You know what I get out of that, dude? And I don't mean to be a rude.
You were in jail?
You used to be so good looking when you got arrested for wherever that.
That's what I'm telling Lachlan, and he's looping me in with him. I don't know. I'd like to see it.
There's a lack of self-awareness on your part, just a bit, right? And I think that comes with how you're wired, Spenny, and we don't have time, and I'm not a professional. I do believe that you may have found a way to work your way into the hearts and minds of some young ladies, but I think if we're talking about a scale of hotness of men, you're down.
Yeah, Dean is the best looking of the three of us.
Without at the bottom of the ladder with old Locker.
Lachlan, he puts himself with you, so don't look at it like it's a bad thing.
No, I'm okay.
Quite comfortable with where I am.
Yeah,
I get where I am.
It's a spectrum.
So
yes.
I am not down with Lachlan.
Yeah, you are.
I'm somewhere in between Lachlan and you.
No. You're with Lach on that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, so
let me ask you a question.
We're on the same rung.
Let me ask you a question.
Look, when you get that squirrel off your chin, we can decide what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
I do this to offset.
Dude, when you get that shape of my head, teeth organized, you can then chirp at Spenny about how unattractive he is.
Okay, can I just say something?
He's unattractive. I'm just saying that I don't think he is what he thinks he is. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think I'm anything. When I was younger, I was something. That's all I'm saying.
That's all he said.
I also was better looking when I was younger as well.
Let's see a picture.
Know where I stood.
Lock, I want a picture, and you put that me. Last Patreon.
Lock, call up. Me right now. Call me on my phone, and his picture of him shows up from like 15 years ago. Call me. I'm going to show you a picture of how good looking Lachlan
is. And then let the audience decide.
Yeah, he has never been a good looking man. It's just, he's just got really lucky.
I don't say he's unattractive. I'm just saying I'm better looking. That's all.
There you go.
That's me as Elvis.
That's holy like 20 shit. Years ago. That is
it's not 20 that years that ago.
That is not an attractive man right there.
You
that's
didn't
okay.
even do hot Elvis.
No, you didn't.
Elvis is funnier.
Okay. I want to touch a couple things because your Patreon, you said you're going to deal with how fucked the world is. And that's something if you follow Spenny on Twitter, @Spenny, you understand that he has these crises of conscience all the time. And he's always in my DMs and texts, and we're always talking about different world issues. How come this guy's not saying this? How come this guy's not saying that? What do you think about Trump? What do you think about PP? I know how much you hate unfair. Lachlan does too. Fair came to town for Donald Trump last week, and I want your thoughts because he's flat ass broke, unable to make his $464 million bond. And the things that frustrate you are the things that frustrate Locke and things that frustrate everybody else. Unfair. Do you find that fair? Were you happy with that?
Well, first of all, I'd have to see how leveraged his properties are because he clearly doesn't want to lose his properties. Look at that golf course he has in Scotland. Holy shit. So he might not be broke. But we all know he's not as rich as he says he is. How do we know that? Because he lies about everything. So, you know, and I don't think it's exaggerating. I think he lies. I think good he said point. He was worth $10 billion at one point. He says that Mar-a-Lago's worth, what does he say? Half a billion? I can't even remember.
Like $6 billion.
Yeah, something crazy. But that's who he is. I am happy that he's coming to account in a sense, although I'm concerned that the argument that that he's being victimized by the Department of Justice is going to be in his favor. That does concern me. The only thing I couldn't care less about the Stormy Daniels case. I couldn't care less about a lot of it. It's just the insurrection and anything that has to do with being a traitor. That's really
anything that has to do with being a traitor.
Yeah.
Remember when we were kids and we grew up? What you got there? Is that you as a young man?
That's an old picture of me with my wife.
You don't have to, dude. You've been stewing on that Elvis picture, and then you're like, I was good looking.
I was not good looking. We're showing you an older picture.
We're doing a show. Lachlan's in his own world.
He's still obsessed with being better looking. I swear.
I'm not.
We've moved on. We're talking about Trump.
I don't care where I stand on this.
We moved on.
Yeah, we moved on. Let it go. Now and Schadenfreude in politics, because Lachlan doesn't think he's going to go to jail. You think he's going to go to jail?
No, he's not going to jail.
I don't think he's going to go to jail.
Do you want him to go to jail? Would you like to see him go to jail?
I just don't want him in power. At the end of the day, I'm not one of those. Like, there's some people on X that are just all day long, every day they attack him and want him. I'm not one of those people. I just don't want him in power.
No,
basically. But yeah,
Are you okay with up here? Because that's MAGA down there. You don't want MAGA and the leader of MAGA in power. Are you okay in Canadian politics with having Maple MAGA run country?
Yeah. I can't. You said to me you didn't want to talk about Israel and all that. I now have no political home whatsoever. I will be sitting out the next election almost certainly. So no, I don't like PP. I don't like the 60% rhetoric.
60% of the population.
Yeah, but except I normally always vote. But anyways.
I'm going to try to vote.
Shouldn't that be a reason to vote? I want to play you guys something real quick.
Sure.
I want to play you guys something because I've had a change of heart.
You're one of the biggest flip-floppers I know on politics.
That's good, though. That's a good thing.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, because it means he's thinking. Because
2 weeks ago, he went on this podcast and informed us that he was never going to talk about politics ever again, never write about it.
That's not what I said. I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
And then I was like, wow, that's really going to disappoint a lot of people. And then the next day, he's sending me prep for the podcast. And he sent me six political things.
No, I'm not like,
we should maybe get an entertainment thing in there. Oscars were last night.
No, here's the thing. I'm not doing culture content. You know when we beat the shit out of each other with like, you retweeted this, so that means you're a Nazi. You retweeted this, that means you're part of the gender ideology cult. You retweeted this, that means you're a commie. Right. I'm not doing that anymore when it comes to politics. Like haranguing people, hanging collars out. I'm not doing that. But, oh, yeah, I'm going to chase assholes around all day long. That's what I love to do. It's just my favorite thing. To the point where Pierre Poilievre, and you guys watch This Hour is 22 Minutes. You mocked them.
Yeah, I've seen this. Show. Go ahead, roll it.
Yeah. It's a great clip. It's a great clip because this is Pierre Poilievre being introduced to a guy that mocks him.
Your Justin Trudeau bit.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago was really good.
Really good. Yeah. So this is the change of heart I've had is what prime minister, what party will give us the best content for the next 4 to 5 years. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in who's going to give me better dental care. I take care of that myself. Who's going to give me better programs? I'll take care of my own programs myself. I'll pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. I don't care. It doesn't matter who the prime minister is. I think I want this guy to be our next prime minister just for this fucking reason only. If you ever put this guy on the spot, this is what you're going to get. Guy from This Hour is 22 minutes waiting to meet Pierre Poilievre. I want you to watch and pay very special attention to how good he is on his feet. Watch this.
Wow, Pierre Poilievre, such an honor to meet. My name is Dan. I'm with 22 Minutes. It's so nice to meet you. I think you're doing an amazing job. If it was up to me, you'd be the leader of the opposition for the rest of your life.
Well, I won't be, sadly, for you and you. But you know what?
Wow, Pierre Poilievre, such an honor to meet. My name is Dan. I'm with 22 Minutes. Yeah. It's so nice to meet you. I think you're doing an amazing job. If it was up to me, you'd be the leader of the opposition for the rest of your life.
Well, I won't be, sadly, for you and you. But you know what?
Yeah, that's
I think he wanted to say something. He wanted to say what we all think about that show, but then like stopped himself.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, no one watches your shitty television show, which he would have been well within his right to say. but that clip is now
viral. They have moments. The hour has 22 minutes, has its
well,
moments.
They did a really cool thing this weekend with Trump and PP where they pretended to be each other, and it was a nice little skit. And hey, this is a Heritage comedy show.
We do need someone to insert some comedy into what we're dealing with. The problem I have with politics right now is it's very difficult to not be scared about the possibility of some of the potential changes. I'm sorry. as comical as Trump is, and how much of a cartoon character he is, and how much content that's going to bring to late night television writers and podcasters and TV shows. He's terrifying. I think this next time around, the mistakes he made by not putting his own people in the last time, or attempting to try to have some semblance of decency by putting some people around him to protect him from himself.
Yeah.
That's gone. And I think that he is going to do a lot of damage. And I think he is going to hurt. It's not just the United States. I think he's going to hurt the world that we live in with some of the things that he might do. That's my concern. So I think we should be scared about him getting the reins of the country again.
I can't see it. I can't see every single Kennedy came out against Robert Kennedy the other day. Every institution. Mike Pence came out and he's like, "Yeah, listen, I worked with this guy for 4 years. He's a fucking loser. So you cannot vote for him. The establishment is coming for me." It's not going to happen. I don't think.
I hope
you're
right.
Tell whatever story he wants in terms of like, hey, this is political persecution, because that's what he wants everybody to believe, that it's political persecution, right? That's the
you got to be a little bit scared that they are just crazy enough down there to put that man into to power again. Just
they
to
are.
Put
they did once. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, fascinating. It's and you know, depending on who you talk to that understands the political ecosystem in both countries, they're like, if Trump gets in down there, PP won't get in up here. If Biden gets in down there, PP might get in up here. And I'm like, how the fuck does that work? They're like,
Dean,
we don't really know.
63% of Republicans think that Trump didn't lose the election in 2020.
Isn't that incredible?
63%.
It's been amazing, dude. We live in this time where you can literally just repeat messaging over and over and over again because people are on their phones all the time. And you can create a reality for people now, which is, I think that was Spenny's problem. If you watched him during the Israel Gaza thing, which is obviously still going on, and we're not going to talk about it today. I mean, what are we going to talk about? Like, why would we talk about the Israel Gaza thing?
Yeah, you were very nonplussed when I said, are we going to talk about that? I'm fine to not talk about it. But
do you want to talk about it?
Not really.
No, I don't either. I don't either, because I watched you like bat it around on social media for like 2 months, for the last 2 months, just trying to understand it. Like just trying to fucking figure out who's right, who's wrong, what's going on. And it doesn't matter where people arrive. What matters is that the damage is done through the messaging, right? Like, and that was the whole goal. Let's keep people like Kenny confused. And it's the same policy and premise. How do we keep people confused, and how do we keep people wondering whether or not the bad guys, which are us, depending on what you're from and what you believe, how can we keep people thinking we're the good guys? How can we get people on our side?
To my defense, I think that my position on it is nuanced and reasonable and decent. What's driving me crazy, here we are. We're not really talking about that. I'm talking about now the people's reaction to that. And I've been saying woke people, and that's a kind of a loaded term. But there's a great little cartoon I saw, which was this woman holding a sign saying, stop killing each other, right? And it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like that wouldn't have worked with Hitler, right? That wouldn't have worked with Pol Pot. That wouldn't have worked with, you know, anybody. And it's too easy. It's too easy. The reality is it's a very complex situation. I know it makes people feel good to say, let's stop the killing. I understand it. I'm not even against it, but it is hopelessly naive. If it's like these people don't know history at all. I mean, the Americans with Biden right now, do you know how many civilians?
You just nailed it, Spenny. You nailed it. No one understands this because no one gets the history. And that's why I'm frustrated by it, because it's seeped in layers and layers and layers and layers and years and years and years of
revisionist history. Here's the thing,
I'm not talking about Israel, because I'm talking about world. I'm talking about violence. I'm talking about revolutions. I'm talking about politics.
And they change history too. And that's the thing, right?
I said, you know, we kind of need a Churchill kind of person right now. And then the left wing, what I call woke, whether you agree with me or not, he was the racist. He was the bigot. He was the warmonger. You know what? Sometimes, unfortunately, we need people like that in the world to stick up for what's right, because it is a complicated situation. And that, to me, has driven me more very crazy. The people glomming on to one side or the other, really, with absolutely no nuance, and it seems to me like the virtue signalers are out in force, and it's very good for Hamas. And look what just happened in Canada. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys. Did they not stop any kind of
the transfer of any weapons, which I mean is let's be fair.
Sorry, I didn't hear about this. Can you film
somewhat symbolic in nature? Just because I think politically,
like Spanish, we just stopped and, Canada. Sorry, just because there's not a lot of context there. You're saying
tell them
Canada is now cut off any weapons
and money
to Israel. Correct.
I don't know if it's happened yet. It's going to be floored in the Commons. I'm not sure, but.
But yeah, they're moving towards it.
Biden's doing the same thing. He's having a conversation with Netanyahu tomorrow, because he's the problem. Israel is not. He and his extremists are the problem.
Spenny and I, and listen, I'm not defending any political sort of maneuvering in this conflict at all. But I think we've reached a point where I think the rest of the world just needs to walk away and go, We can't be involved, because it's too much for on both sides.
Would you have said that in World War II?
No, probably. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, probably would have. And I'm not taking sides here. I'm not a Bibi fan. I never was a Bibi fan. I hope to God he's not elected. And I want to see cooler heads prevail.
What I'm talking about is
the knee-jerk reactions of people who operate on very simplistic guidelines.
Yeah. I look at this, Spenny, from a very different perspective, and now we're full blown talking about it. I'm so frustrated by the entire thing, because you can't ignore what happened in October, but you can't ignore the fact that people are dying right now on both sides of it, right? Like if you want the nuanced conversation,
what more is there people not dying on both sides? I mean, America
doesn't make it right.
Fucking atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Do you think they just killed soldiers? And I'm not arguing that Israel's doing the right thing. I find it very odd, and I'd love to get both of your perspectives on this. I know you don't want to talk about it, Dean.
No, I'm still. I want to talk about it now.
With all the expertise,
that
of people opining about this situation, I personally have not heard one person, not one single person, and I don't claim to have heard everything, that is willing to tell me or Netanyahu what is the alternative besides this ceasefire. Nobody says anything. It's remarkable. You know, if you're going to say Israel can't do it, at least come up with something of what they should be doing.
I think they have to release the prisoners.
Of course.
That's the frustrating thing for me, because when I look at this and go, oh man, someone needs to find a way to stop this, right? And I'm not the guy that has the answer, Spenny, and I don't think anybody does. That's why you haven't heard anybody come up with an alternative.
Well, then I find that to be a pretty good indication that maybe BB is doing the right thing. That's all.
Maybe. Maybe
I don't know. I don't know. I don't like it.
Funny, you said you told me I was based a couple of months ago, and I took that. I didn't take it personally at all. I had to actually think about what you said, because you're like, what do you did? Because you said, and it was just in a private conversation you and I had. You said, what do you make?
Based is a good thing. You realize that, right?
Yeah, I do, but I had to think about it. Like, I had to kind of understand it. Because my whole thing is, I don't want innocent people caught up in the inner workings of political, religious turmoil. And that's all we see anytime this happens. But to your point, war is war, right? Palestine started a war with Israel. What did they think would happen? And yes, it's sad.
Doesn't make it right.
Hashim is sad. Every war is sad.
Doesn't make it right.
But you'll find people that don't even agree with that.
No, I know that. But my point is this.
My point is this, it's a possible situation.
We can look at history or you can look at consequences. And you got to put both of those things together, right? History and consequences. And then you have to look at, you know, the geopolitical ramifications, what's still going on. And then you have to look at how this is being manifested in our own country, which makes us all feel unsafe. Do you know how many synagogues have been firebombed in Canada?
Yes,
I'm aware of it. Do you know how many protests we've seen? Do you know how many people have been threatened? Guys showing up to rallies with fucking nail guns on both sides. And you can't even both sides this issue because that's the problem. That's why everybody goes,
they're doing that.
They are doing it.
And they're single siding it, which bothers me. A guest of yours, I'll just say that she was the mayor. She no longer is. I don't have to use her name. I gave her ample opportunity to just condemn Hamas, not Palestinians, and she couldn't do it. She showed me a picture of a bunch of books she read on the Mideast. Each one of them was obviously anti-Israel. Okay, I just don't understand it. I don't understand how anybody can't condemn Hamas. You can condemn Israel. Okay, I get it. Condemn Hamas. And that's what we're not seeing, and that's why Jews are so upset. And that's why, in my opinion, they're winning the PR war.
They're winning
the PR war, and our politicians are helping them. Oh, and for a Jew, it's very disturbing.
Huge. And people take the side of whatever is going to get them the most clicks, whatever is going to feed their reputation.
Or votes, in the case of Biden.
Well, and I think more importantly, you nailed it, Spanny. I think that's the frustrating thing for me right now is that if you take a step back and look at this and the political ramifications for upcoming elections in the democratic/free world, man, it is very disturbing that this is being used as something to inflame the right.
And but it makes sense. This is the dark side of democracy.
I think that's why the conflict was started. I think everybody in that region is geopolitical collateral damage. I think that, you know, whether or not it was about getting
there's a case weapons to be made that they were
Ukraine and over to Israel, stopping the flooding of, like, we're seeing what's going on in Ukraine with the lack of aid, lack of weapons. That has a direct impact of what's going on in that region. You see the different geopolitical interests feeding into it, Iran, China, Russia. Yeah. Then you see all the Western countries feeding into it. And everybody's standing around going, let's pick a side. And it depends on your self-interest. That'll be the side that you pick. And usually self-interest comes digitally, right? People are like, listen, I'm going to get a couple of points by saying that's the world's biggest open air prison. Free the kids of Gaza. Let's put up a picture of a kid with his guts splayed all over the fucking sidewalk. Let's do that.
And it, you know, still what doesn't make that right.
I'm not saying it makes it right.
I just want to say out loud that we're not diminishing the loss of life from all sides of this thing. If you sit there and look at this from a chess perspective, geopolitically, it is even sadder, Dean. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, but dude, it's collateral. It's purposeful. That is a purposeful war. It has nothing to do with the skirmish, the history. They'll obfuscate and they'll throw chaotic, you know, revisionist history into people's TM saying, oh, you got to believe this. No, that was originally our land. No, that was their land. River to the sea. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I'm so tired of all of it. What's going on there is wag the dog. That's all it is. What's going on there is we're literally using human beings in that region to create micro content so that specific interests in this world can somehow divide society and start another war. And
our eyes off the ball on the Ukraine conflict right now.
Yeah. I'm going to take issue with that. And I want to say a couple things. Number one, Israel and the Palestinians are experiencing violence, like real violence.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's anything to do with politics. That's just violent reality. But I want to say something about, because I'm glad you brought up Ukraine. And maybe I'm wrong, and please educate me if I'm wrong. It seems to me that the old world order of United States being the superpower that kind of keeps order in the world, and the United States is far from perfect, because that's what the woke people do. You know, they'll find any issue that's what they deem immoral, and then the entire cause gets thrown out the window. I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, that the United States overwhelmingly is probably a force for good in the world. And what I see happening with the Trump movement and is this moving away from that, what do they call it? Not isolationism, but, you know, kind of what MAGA is. And it does upset me. And it scares me.
I know
me.
The term.
Okay.
What it's not it? Coming to me now. Spenny, keep going.
You know it, but keep going. I could have said the same thing, Locke. Okay.
Hang on. Coming. I know the term.
It's coming. But anyways, you know, and you know,
it was right
there. I'm open-minded. Prove to me that I'm wrong. But don't tell me because there was slavery in the United States hundreds of years ago that is, you know, means that they aren't a force for good in the world. Noam Chomsky, someone I admire. And then that Finkelman guy, you know, these guys, when they talk and they're very smart, will make Israel look like the worst place on earth.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated time to really do anything. But I
live in a time, we live in a time now where we didn't live before. Like you and I and Locke were from a different generation where you would have conversations with people and you would curate your worldview. Right now, people can literally tag you on your phone, get into your notification, send something and wake you up from, you know, watching TV on your couch and go, Israel's a fascist state. They're working with Russia. And you're like, oh, fuck, seriously, this is crap. Yeah, watch this video. That's the currency of our world, right? Where we come from, we're like, that's got to be true. So we sit here and are inundated with that on a daily basis. And you can't, and people tell you what's going on. They don't say, here's some information you should read about
right.
it. They just tell you what you should believe.
Absolutely.
And there are very few people out there like you, like Lachlan, and I would put myself in that boat, who like to approach these conversations critically and go, okay, well, let's just talk about everybody. Let's talk about the geopolitical interests. Let's talk about what's going on over there. Let's talk about Ukraine. Let's talk about Western civilization. Let's talk about fascist leanings, and let's talk about all the interests in that region. And then we can actually have a conversation, as opposed to showing up with a flag, climbing a scaffold and shutting down a fucking hospital just because you don't like it and you want to tell people about your reality. And that should be their reality as well. But it's not. It's not, because we have the ability to reason and think, and we're not fucking morons. We're not automatons.
But many things can be true at the same time.
100%. Yeah. So that's a good point. But I also like to say this. As much as it is frustrating, a lot of these conversations are frustrating because we don't approach them from what Dean was just saying, from a sense of, all right, let's take a step back and look at the, you know, hey, listen, if we take a look at this from a geopolitical perspective, you know, is there more to this than just they did a bad thing and now we're going to try to get rid of them, right? Like there is a lot of that going on, that those conversations are happening. But I think you have to also be okay with the idea that some people are so upset about what's happening from one perspective or the other that they're taking to the streets, because I understand that as well. Yeah. That makes sense to me, because it is wildly difficult to watch this in the news. And so if somebody is passionate enough about it to actually take to the streets, and again, we have this conversation about the you know, people, you know, out there demonstrating and you know, disrupting our lives for something that's happening on the other side of the world, and really what's the point of that? But man, I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad it's happening, because somebody needs to, whether you agree or disagree, somebody needs to be out there showing the world that this is not right, that there's a problem here.
I agree with you. I have no problem with that. The problem becomes, I've spoken to people during the convoy protests, and they basically said that's what protest is, to disrupt things. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, there are laws on the books about harassment, and there are laws on the books about, you know, there's peaceful protest, and what is a peaceful protest? I don't really have problems with people that are on one side or the other protesting. It's the tactics that they're using that can be probably illegal and very unhealthy for the democracy and themselves.
Did you see? Well, and then shutting down discourse is the other thing that you brought up, Dean, right? Like just saying to somebody, just because they're on one side or the other, that you can't have that opinion because I have mine. That's the other thing that drives me insane. And that's why I don't engage on social media, because
smart,
I'm not going to sit there and have a conversation with somebody and be told that my opinion, regardless of what it is wrong, because my opinion comes from perspective.
Yeah, but that's wrong too. And I'll tell you why. Is because there are so many people out there that have come up with, like, you know, you hear people say, hey, this is just how I'm wired, so deal with me, right? Yeah. I was born this way, so this is how I'm going to be in every situation. You can deal with me.
Damn Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Life requires nuance, right? So in the big scheme of things, we all arrive at our opinions certain ways, usually through familial experiences, actually bad experiences. That's how we arrive at our world opinions. That's how we have our core beliefs. So we adopt these belief systems because we need something to manage. That changes over time, right? It changes over time because we get older. We become less afraid to engage with things, challenging our core belief system. And so we evolve. And that's really the purpose of life, is to get a little bit better every day. So at the age of 50, I feel very differently. And my worldview is very differently than it was at the age of 25. At the age of 25, I thought I had everything figured out. And if I could go back to my 25-year-old self, I would say, hey, dude, you don't know everything yet. You need to listen to people, but you need to listen to the right people. You need factual information, and then you can curate a worldview. You can understand what's going on around you a little bit. Yeah, Fat Dean would just tell people.
And there's also, can I just say this? And it's on both sides, clearly on both sides. And maybe it tilts more towards the Palestinian side. There's a lot of propaganda. Yeah. I mean, my understanding is in Qatar, they're spending lots of money on this social media campaign, and it's working. I've seen it on the Israeli side as well. Things that are clearly untrue, that have been provably true, that they're just there to sway hearts and minds. So we have that to deal with on top of everything. And I think that's what Dean's saying. You have to go to the right people.
And Spenny, I think the other issue is that everyone sort of adopted this very similar approach to trying to sway the hearts and minds. Everyone is doing the same thing, right? They're all kind of,
well, the goal is to sway hearts and minds.
I just want truth. John Lennon, that song, give me some truth.
We're not getting that anymore. We're not getting that.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
You got to read between the lines a little bit and go,
you've got this constant barrage now. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people don't, you know, identify when it comes to their evolving belief systems, right? You have these evolving perspectives, and you get inundated on a daily basis with people trying to change your perspective, people telling you that you're wrong without actually having a conversation. They just want to put something in your inbox and go, you're wrong, I'm right, read all this. And to that point, that interview with Don Lemon and Elon Musk this weekend, I don't know if you guys watched it. Locke and I talked about it on the podcast yesterday, Spen. It was fascinating. And I want to bring up one of the biggest issues with what we're talking about, which is that constant fire hose of information in people's brains that is not accurate, that is hateful, that paints, in this case, Jews as a world problem, which Elon Musk now says is okay with him because it's just not illegal. I want you to watch this. Fucking
freedom of speech, I know.
Well, that's not was what the study shows. And you said you like transparency. I'm going to show you this. And
Don, you can get a study that will tell you whatever you want.
But these are just a handful of extremely, you look at those anti-Semitic and racist tropes and tweets. And as of this morning, they're still on X. And from your own content policy, these posts should have been deleted. So why haven't they been deleted? Why are they still there?
We delete things if they are illegal.
But these have been up there for a while.
Are they illegal?
They're not illegal, but they're hateful, and they can lead to violence. As I just read to you, the shooters, you know, in all of these mass shootings, attributed social media to
radicalizing.
So Don, you love censorship, is what you're saying?
No, I don't love censorship.
Then why are you asking?
I believe in moderation, but I don't believe in
censorship. Moderation is a propaganda word for censorship.
But don't you think free speech is one thing, right? Or not, you know?
Look, if something's illegal, we're going to take it down. If it's not illegal, then we're putting our thumb on the scale and we're being censors.
You're putting your thumb on the scale for moderating hate speech. I mean, you don't put out child pornography. That's not...
It's illegal.
Some people would say that's considered censorship. I'm just saying, you...
No, I literally... Don, you know, I literally said, if something is legal, okay, we will obviously remove it.
Okay.
But if it is not legal, the laws in this country are put forward by the citizens. We're a democracy. If those laws are put in place by the people... We adhere to those laws.
Okay, I agree.
We adhere to the laws of others. If you go beyond the law, you're actually going beyond the will of the people.
Okay, agreed with the law. But if you are doing something that promotes hate and violence and ultimately leads to killing, you don't feel you have any responsibility not to do that? When the people who are doing it admittedly are saying...
There's articles all the time that lead to violence and killing. Don't they? Shouldn't they? Like you're applying a differential standard to.
But that would never be in mainstream media.
That's fascinating to me. You know why? I'll tell you why it's fascinating to me. Because what he basically is saying, and I would like your opinions on this too. What he's basically saying is that I don't have a social contract with the people that use this app. I don't give a fuck what they do. As long as it's not illegal, I don't really care. And I don't care what the fallout is because everybody else does it too. That's what he just said at the end. Listen, everyone else does it and it's not illegal. So why wouldn't we allow them to do that here? And those are pretty specific examples of propaganda, hate propaganda against Jewish people.
Okay. Can I go and then log?
Please. Yeah.
This is an issue which is fundamentally a freedom of speech issue, I think. And that's certainly how he poses it most of the time. Yeah. I flip-flopped on this, and I will continue to flip-flop on this for one reason and one reason only. I'm emotional. I find that all the rabbit holes I go down, like even this, I was excited about not talking about Israel, and here we are. It's
your
emotional.
Fault. Your fault.
It's emotional.
Yeah.
And so obviously I understand the idea of the idea of freedom of speech and how it is a slippery slope. That's one of the things that really is a slippery slope and we have to be careful about it. So that's basically all I have to say. If it wasn't emotional for me, then I would be completely 100% in favor of zero regulation on these platforms and just let things fly and have people deal with them.
But that's the question, right, Locke? What he's asking, what Spenny's talking about is the question is, do you have, I think.
So when you frame it in a conversation like this, then no matter what you say, you look like a total cock, right?
Totally.
Like,
but let me ask
you. So that's the problem I have with that whole interview. Don Lemon is not getting enough. In my opinion, a backlash about how he conducted that interview. He completely 100% set Elon Musk up to fail. Whether you like him or not, that was all his motivation was. He went in there armed with everything. I am going to make this guy look like a total cock. And every question, every turn we make, he's going to look like a dick. That's all that was. That's all that was. It was not a conversation. It was a complete... Come down the garden path with me. I'm smarter than you. I'm going to show how much smarter I am than you, and I'm going to make you look like a complete asshole. So no wonder Elon Musk looks like that and then reacted that way. And then depending on where you come from, now all of a sudden you got to pick a side. So now you're asking me to pick a side. I actually kind of agree with Elon Musk.
I just wanted your thoughts.
But I'm more – every time I see a clip from that interview, I get angry and angrier because Don fucked that interview up. He completely messed that interview up, and it could have actually been something that was productive for everybody. But it that's not what that intended to be. And when you start virtue signaling and you get up on your fucking horse like Don Lemon did there, you're not doing anybody any favors. All you're doing is just adding to the discourse that is already divided. Like that's the problem I have with that, because a lot of people, Dean, don't like Elon Musk, but kind of agree with the approach that he's taking with Twitter. Right? A lot of people. Yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff out there that I don't like on Twitter. And there's a lot of stuff out there that is hateful, but it's not illegal. And he does have a fucking point, right? Mm-hmm. He does have a point. And yeah. unfortunately, that point isn't worth bringing up in a conversation like the one that we're having right now, because people could potentially get injured and harmed.
And what is the anecdote to it? The antidote is regulation. And there's no way around it. If you're going to regulate something like X, it's going to have a high probability. What?
How do you even start that's to what I'm regulate saying. That?
That's what I'm saying. It can't be regulated, which is why I tend to agree with you, Locke, on this one.
Yeah, and listen, these are. I love that you're getting hot about it too.
I get mad because that interview was so bad, and we're using it as an example to shit on Elon Musk,
who doesn't need. We are.
And Elon Musk is an awful person. He's incorrigible. I see him speak now, and I'm just like, shut up. I can't believe that the people that have any sense of the companies that he works for that allow him to continue to speak, because he's just doing more and more damage.
It's a private company. I go back to that. It's a private company. And if he's not breaking the law, you know, I don't want to get into the regulation thing. I've seen too much bureaucratic messes in this world, including what I'm seeing in the Mideast. To allow it to affect.
Being is, listen, if I actually trusted government officials, which I don't, I have zero trust over them, then I would say, yeah, okay, then you regulate it. But no one trusts our public officials anymore.
Did you see Canada's attempt to regulate the internet with the online harms bill? It's actually a decent bill until you get to the punishment or the humiliation involved with stepping out of line. One of them is life in prison for inciting any hate violence. Life in prison for inciting hate violence online. And that's fucking ridiculous to lock.
This is why I'm turning away from the liberals.
Stupid. Yeah, yeah. No, dude, I get it. Listen, I have no issues with anybody's political leaning because I hate all politics equally. I go after the culture, the character, and the works of these individuals, to Lockham's point. But... And to your point, Don Lemon's interview was fucking awful. My issue with it was him going, I'm so sorry to ask you this question, but I have to ask you this question. That is not an interview. That's a guy going, I hope you continue to pay me, and I hope this goes a lot better than I think it's going to go. And he did try to lead him down the garden path. But some of those questions, Lachlan, you got to separate emotion from it. Some of those questions are legitimate questions. Did you see
it's how he framed them. It right out of the gates. Well, I didn't watch
Elon
the whole
Musk
thing.
Should be smart enough. If he's the smartest guy in the world, and if he says he's the smartest guy in the world, he should be smart enough to be able to handle a fucking interview with a woke asshole like Don Lemon, and he couldn't because
wait
he
a
got
sec,
emotional.
Wait a sec.
Like
I thought did. Trump was the smartest guy in the world.
No, brokest guy. Okay. Anyway. Glad anyway, we didn't talk about any
I just,
of that
I
stuff.
Hate that. I hate that interview.
Yeah.
I love it. I hate it. I hate it. It's so awkward. It's
you know
so
it was to me too.
It could have been something.
I wrote about it yesterday. I love conflict content now. Starting to see those culture warriors on both sides. I don't know if you saw Cuomo and Tucker Carlson interview each other the other day. I'm like, hey, that was worth the watch, even though I think they're both performative. You're seeing people that need each other. Like Elon needed Don because he's gay and black. Right. To put a gay black guy on the platform to show everybody he's woke and he's interested in DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And he went to Auschwitz. Right.
Yeah. He wants to show people he's a real man of the individuals. Right. That's what he wants to do. He is off his rocker.
He's trying to save his bank account.
Totally. Don Lemon is also off his rocker. Those guys, that was an ego interview. That was two egos going at it, to your point. Both of those guys fucked that whole thing up, which is why I love it. Because some of the truth came out there where he's like, hey, listen, I'm not really here for free speech. I'm here to fucking do what I got to do, and I'm just going to call it free speech. There's a point in there where he called moderation propaganda, right? Where Elon's like, no, moderation is just a propaganda word for canceling and woke bullshit. It really isn't. Moderation is about being a good citizen and not doing any more damage with the incredible footprint that he has with Twitter.
Wait
and the
a
incredible
second.
Footprint
Dean,
that he has.
Dean, but one
those
man's
are my
damage,
values.
But one man's damage is another man's virtue.
Totally. Those are my values. Yeah, 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 absolutely. So a variety of different opinions. And part of me is like, fuck yeah, he owns it. Do what he wants, right? I get that.
Yeah, I do like that he owned it. That was good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and you know what was happening before, I think, was just as damaging. I'm sorry. the way it was being run before, where they were just arbitrarily deciding that, again, we can bring the Trump thing, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think Trump, I don't think Trump should have been allowed off, like pulled off of Twitter. And that is and the reason I don't think he should have been was because it just did more damage. It just actually
gave more juice.
It gave him more power.
Private company. It's a private company. They can do what they want until that changes.
Yeah. The only reason I played that was to give Spenny's argument of this inundation of people telling you how the world works. That was a great example. And it sits in the world of Israel, Gaza, and anti-Semitism. And you can kind of see the inner workings, the mind of the guy that owns Twitter that says, hey, listen, I think those people should be allowed to be hateful because it is free speech. It's not illegal.
To your point, and that's why this is a difficult conversation. If you're trying to side with Elon or what, like if you even remotely suggest that, that's why this is difficult, because clearly the guy is anti-Semitic, right? Like,
it's like
Trump, like every time he speaks about racism, I mean, you know, or about, you know, his relationship with black culture in the United States, it's like, listen, stop talking. We all know you're racist. Right?
I've always thought he isn't racist. I've always thought he's just a snob. I don't know what's worse.
Just a shit.
Yeah, like if there was a black gay guy who was a quadrillionaire, my guess is Trump would dig him. But I don't know. I'm just talking.
Yeah, he's a money guy. He doesn't really care about anything else.
I don't know about that. I think there's been some things that he's done in the past that would suggest that he used his money to show that he was actually a racist.
Yeah, okay, and a racist.
I think that's a reasonable point. I think it's
Anyway.
Spenny, Spencer
I'm
Rice.
I'm so glad I got up today. Wow, thanks for this.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this right now.
My back is sweating. My heart's beating.
You can shit on
I want a drink.
You can shit on this podcast for being stressed out all you want. That was the best podcast we've ever done.
Yay.
The best. That was the best.
And let's not it's forget
because
my
you, Spenny.
Somewhere underneath the dead bodies is my Patreon account.
Plug.
Yeah.
How do I sign up for your Patreon, Spenny?
You click on the link and then it gives you the different.
Where do we find the link? You go to Spencer Rice Patreon, Spenny Patreon. Can you tell us?
No, it's patreon.com/SpencerSpennyRice. It's on the video. It's all over my social media.
You couldn't have made that a little simpler?
You couldn't have just told us?
Told you what?
Well, you just told us.
Yeah, I did. Okay, then I guess I could. I'm not sure what's going on right now.
You're a lot of work.
I am a lot of work. But and if this Patreon's a lot of work, I don't expect to become wealthy from it, but I'm putting up interesting content. If anybody has an inkling of liking of me and what I have to say, that's a good place to find out who I am.
Buddy, I love
without
you.
Without putting fingers up people's asses and getting balls laid on
well, the floor.
Seems
easier. Yeah, you could charge more for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Spencer Rice, great to see you. At Spenny is where you can find him on Twitter. Patreon.com, Spenny Spencer Rice, / Spenny Spencer Rice is where you can find him. Dude, it is always great to chop it up with you. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Had a great
time.
Can
I get a free account?
No. There is a free membership.
I don't want to pay the $2. I just lost my job. Give me a free one.
Yeah, he did. He just got fired. He's unemployed. That's not true. He's a full-time employee.
Do you know that 6 cents a day? Think of it that way.
Yeah, 6 cents a day. You can afford 6 cents a day to feel really good about yourself and watch Spenny interview his daughter.
I'll tell you. I'll give you a nickel.
Yeah.
Bring it down. Bring it down to a nickel.
That's the most Jewish thing you've ever said. I have to be honest with you.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Spenny.
Okay, love you guys.
Love you too, buddy. Bye. Spencer Rice, ladies and gentlemen. It is time, Lachlan Cross, for the Ardent Roofing Systems Locker Room Retro Replay of the Day. What do we have here?
You mentioned something yesterday about a woman that did something porn-related to raise money for the Australian wildfires.
Correct.
And that reminded me of a bit that we did back in August 2020 about a porn star's glasses.
This is a story about a porn star, but she's actually doing something, she's doing a really good thing.
Yes, Mia Khalifa.
Khalifa.
You guys know who that is?
I saw the video.
And I don't
forgot her name, but
now
yeah.
That the algorithm thinks that this is for white.
This is her.
I just want to let you guys know that there is a humanitarian crisis in Lebanon right now, and they need our help because their government is corrupt and not doing anything about it. So
she's Lebanese.
I'm doing yeah. what I can.
She's from Lebanon. Moved to the States. Eventually
right
got into
and
porn.
The is at about
and became the
as you do.
So
and became the most viewed performer on Pornhub.
Okay, I don't recognize her. So she's selling her glasses though, right?
Jimmy's kind of into that.
How do you spell her last name? Mia.
So M-I-A is her first name, and then K-H-A-L.
Okay.
I-F-A.
Okay.
Mia Khalifa.
With glasses. Let me just see if I can.
So she's turned. She's got.
Oh, I
recognize. You recognize her now?
You recognize her too, yeah.
So she left the porn
industry.
I didn't
recognize her without her glasses.
Oh, see, her glasses are famous. Left the porn industry, and she's kind of an activist now.
Okay.
And so she wanted to raise money for Lebanon,
it's
her
like
home
the next
country.
Step, right?
Yeah. And so she auctioned off those glasses for her, yeah. and she ended up getting $100,000 for Lebanon on eBay.
Wow.
What do you do with those glasses?
Clean them?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Locker Room Retro Replay of the Day brought to you by Lachlan's good friends at Ardent Roofing Systems, who are putting on not only an incredible golf tournament, which you can sign up for, we'll get to those details, but listen, they are an Owens Corning Platinum Partner. They guarantee their work. One of five companies in Western Canada. Stacy and his crew give back to the community, one of the premier roofing systems in the entire province of Alberta, and one of the premier roofing companies, honest, hardworking, good people. Who are there to do a wonderful job for you. Lachlan, his golf tournament, too, I think is coming up, too. How can people get involved in that and sponsor it? Because everything goes to Stollery Children's Hospital, correct?
ArdenRoofSystems.com. Go sign up Friday, July 5th. We will see you there. Stacy sent me a picture, actually, last night. He's at the Owens Corning's. They have, like, an annual event.
Owens Corning.
Yeah, Owens Corning. And they were actually having dinner last night on the flight deck of the USS Midway, which I thought was kind of cool. He's in San Diego.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he's awesome back on, guy. Awesome.
Back on Thursday, so tomorrow. And then we've got him on the show on Friday. Get your teams in for that golf tournament, okay?
All right. Go to ArdentRoofingSystems.com. That's the address. Correct? Yeah,
yeah,
check it all out. You can also check out what they do. Lachlan's recorded a bunch of videos there for him as well. So go check out some of their roofing YouTube videos. Listen, everybody needs a roof. And dude, he's one of those guys like a roofer, mechanic, dentist, those specialists in areas where you're like, I need a guy.
Yeah, he's your guy.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
your guy in the Edmonton area.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lachlan. Great to see you. Lachlan
Cross. That was a good one today.
Yeah, really good. It was one of the
I'm
going to
go get a drink.
As you should. It's already, 9 o'clock in the morning where you're from. And see why you wouldn't. Thanks to everybody for being part of the show. Really appreciate it. As always, brought to you by our friends and geniuses at factcheck.io. Go to factcheck.io and join their beta testing team, disinformation killing software. For people who are sick and tired of being told what they believe, we just talked all about it, actually. And if you want a way to figure out whether or not that tweet is real, whether or not the person that sent it is a bot or troll, join the Fact Checked beta team, factcheck.io. And believe in what you read. Take agency back of social media. Take agency back of information that you are trying to figure out online, whether or not it's true. We live in a time where they can literally change your reality. It doesn't matter if it's media, social media. It doesn't matter if it's URL. You've got podunk news agencies and lobby groups parading around. You got countries doing the same thing, parading around as in your best interest. They are not. What's in your best interest is taking agency back, and FactCheck does that. Go to factcheck.io, sign up for their beta testing, and become a verified fact checker today. Factcheck.io, again, FACTCHEK.io. Do you believe? Also brought to you by Ed's Fine Imports and his Gitch. Buy three, get one free at Gitch 3 at checkout. A bunch of different colors. You get 15% off on your way out as well. They are the best luxury underwear on the planet. Boxer briefs, pouch in the front, made for everyday level of performance. Moisture wicking, and your boys have a home. Made in Canada by Canadians for Canadian men, so the pouch is bigger. I always say that, but it is true. So go to edsfineimports.com. Use promo code GITCHTREE. Get yourself a pair of luxury branded boxer briefs, courtesy of Ed at edsfineimports.com. We're also brought to you by MuseMassageSpa.com and their brand new podcast called Muse on the Mic. They've got a Patreon Muse on the Mic podcast as well. It's totally uncensored. Emily and Riley walk you through the work of sex work, advocates for sex work. sexologists, educators, advocates, people, and entrepreneurs who know the business of the body rub parlor, and they operate the best one in the entire country, Muse Massage Spa, right here in Toronto, 1290 Finch Avenue West. And you can find out what they do. You can check out their new website, and you can make an appointment, choose your muse. And listen, if you're a little nervous, no big deal. If you go to musemassagespa.com, you can legitimately email Riley, you can legitimately email Emily, and you can have a discreet experience. If you're a little nervous, they can walk you through it. They can explain things. If you've got certain interests that you can't have satisfied in your own life, they're going to help you with that. $50 off right now for Dean Blundell Show listeners. $50 off. Go to musemassagespa.com. Chat with the ladies. Have a look at the schedule and see what you can come up with. You'll have a great time. Promise. Like, you'll really have a great time. Also, we're brought to you by our friends at CanTorque. They make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. The best in the world. 20 years they've been doing it. Unparalleled expertise. They are Canada's leading industrial tool experts. What is a torque wrench? Great question. It is a torque tool, loosening or fastening tool for a bolting application that they cannot find or make. Nuclear, railroad, heavy machinery, doesn't matter, forestry. If you're in the industry boring machines, you can check out all the applications of all of their torque wrenches, and you can get one spec'd for your own needs right now. If you go to CanTorque's brand new website, go to CanTorque.com today for more information. Check out their products, services, et cetera, et cetera. He's got a great podcast called Talking Torque, where he talks to everybody in the industry, including guys that he helps work with and sponsor, like the Alex Tagliani Pinty's NASCAR racing team, of which he is a member and a sponsor. So make sure you check out CanTorque.com. Go to their new website today, bolting and loosening, fastening solutions that nobody else makes. They make them for heavy industry around the world, and they do it right here in Canada. A little maple leaf on everything that they make. God, I love Colin and his group. Contact them today, CanTorque.com. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being part of the show today. Don't forget, everything we do can be found at Cryer Media. Go to Cryer.co. You can also get us and watch this podcast live on YouTube on two different channels, Cryer Media's YouTube channel. You can also go to Dean Blundell Show's YouTube channel, and you can check us out there. Subscribe and rate. We really appreciate that. Do the same thing where you get the audio podcast, Google, Apple, Spotify, et cetera. And again, thank you for spending time with us. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.